We're going to grab a Bible. This is a great opportunity now for us to dig into God's Word together. I want to speak about a different kind of Christmas. And I want us to turn to Luke 1, 46 to 55, which is page 1,028 in the Bibles that you're going to have in your hand. So grab a Bible. Raise a hand. Someone will put one in it. And this is Mary's song, sometimes known as the Magnificat, and one of the most influential people on the church in the UK in the last 400 years, a guy called Thomas Cranmer, who wrote basically the Book of Common Prayer, which is what a lot of Anglican churches have used almost every Sunday for the last 400 years or so. He decided that this was such a special bit of scripture that they should say it or sing it every Sunday. Wow. So we're going to read this very precious bit of scripture that just has such wonderful things within it. Mary's song. She's heard the angel give her this amazing message. She's waiting for the birth of the Christ child. She's just been and visited Elizabeth. She's in fact probably still with Elizabeth when she sings this song, who's also got this miracle child within her. And she says this, verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Should we pray that God open our eyes to see wonderful things in maybe for many of us a familiar passage? So Lord Jesus, please this morning, help me, help us. Lord, we do want to just be filled afresh with your Spirit. Yes, Lord, as Sean was praying, we want to be following closely to you. So Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts. Meet with us through your word, I pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. What are your Christmas and Advent traditions like? You know, Christmas is a great time to lean into traditions, and I encourage you maybe to keep looking at how you can do that. But it's also a good time to just pause and reflect. To think, is the way you do Christmas, the way you do Advent, shaped by the scriptures or by the world? Is the way you're planning these next few weeks, has that got the hallmarks of Christ on it? Of the good news of Christmas? Or actually is it just like a lot of people's Christmases who actually don't even really believe that Christ even really ever came? I want to call you to a different kind of Christmas, Holland Road. I want to ask you to consider that perhaps this Christmas God might do something in you and around you that maybe at this point you couldn't even begin to imagine. I want us to consider maybe doing something different than we've got planned. Maybe stopping something, maybe starting something. Maybe meeting with God in a way we've never done before. And I want to use Mary's song to challenge us, because Mary was going to have a Christmas like she had never had before. Do you agree with that? It was like so different than anything Mary had ever experienced before. And the first thing I want to see about Mary's Christmas and about what I believe a different kind of Christmas should be is it's a Christmas that causes your soul to sing. A Christmas that causes your soul to sing. Now, there's a lot of singing at Christmas. I mean, you're probably going to sing a few more carols than you've done just now. If you want to come carol singing with us around the streets, there's a Robin Hood community. We're going to be at 7:30 in the hall on Wednesday, and then we're going to go and end up in the Robin Hood pub. They've invited us to come in there and sing some carols. But hey, whatever setting, maybe in the different carol services, you're going to come and be singing carols. Maybe you like the Christmas kind of jingles and the Christmas number ones that are kind of played over this time of year. I, to be honest, don't tell Laura this because me and the kids do it sometimes secretly. We play Christmas songs earlier on in the year than December, but she says they're meant to be kept for December. But I kind of love Christmas songs. And, I'm just struck, though, at how even with all the outward singing, inwardly, a lot of people are actually at this time of year really stressed, really sad. You know, this is a time of year where often people get depressed, where the lonely feel even lonelier, where the discouraged get even more discouraged. It's a time where suicide rates go up. I mean, you know this stuff. You don't need me to tell you. It's a time where often family feuds break out or are rekindled. Why is Christmas a time like that for so many? And I just was thinking, there's all kinds of reasons probably, but just two came to mind. Christmas is a time when it's particularly stretching. It's stretching both on people in terms of time. There's a lot of things probably you've got planned and are trying to do, but it's also a stretching time in terms of finances. And those things can put pressure on people. They're often more tired and busier. And so then when you're stressed and stretched, you say things and do things, you think, oh no, and you feel things that are difficult. And then even with all the gatherings, the parties, or the time with family, you know, whether you're invited to those things or not, you can still feel very isolated. I mean, really, there's nothing worse than being at a big gathering, maybe even a party, and everyone else seems to be having a good time, but you feel rubbish. And no one is taking the time to really find out how you're doing. Have you ever been in that situation? It sucks, doesn't it? And of course, if you're not invited to the parties, you can be sitting there and feeling just that even worse. So how does Mary's song speak into that? How do we have not just sort of noisy lips and singing lips, but a singing heart, a singing soul this Christmas time? Well, look what Mary says. Look what Mary says in verse 47 and 48. She says this. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of me, of the humble estate of his servant." Imagine Mary. She's there in Nazareth. You know, Nazareth was the kind of place that they said nothing good can come out of Nazareth. It was a kind of little village in the middle of nowhere. And Mary was almost certainly poor. She was a young woman in a culture and a society which had been oppressed, so that they were under oppression as a people. And she's there living in this situation. And yet she knows this, that God has been mindful of her situation. God has remembered her. Wow. Imagine what that must have been like for Mary. That God has been mindful. God is mindful. Now, there's a lot in our world about mindfulness. I don't know if you've picked up some of this, but my daughter came back from school the other day, said they did a bit of mindfulness in the class. They got given a Malteser, and they had to appreciate the Malteser, just weigh the weight of it in their hand. Then they had to eat the Malteser and just think about the taste and the, you're tasting the Malteser now in your mouth. And just sort of that, you know, appreciating. And I'm thinking there's something good. We can all too easily go down with our food. Yeah, there's nothing too bad about that. But it's a Malteser. I mean, sometimes we kind of feel, well, what about someone being mindful of me like they're mindful of the Malteser? I mean, if someone would appreciate me, if someone would kind of treasure in that way that we do stuff sometimes, me. And I think sometimes, folks, we can think, is anyone mindful of me And Christmas says, God is mindful, not just of Mary, but he's mindful of us. He is aware of your struggles this Christmas. He's aware of whatever you've been facing this week. He's aware of the burdens you're carrying. He's aware of all that's in your diary. He's aware of all that's in your head. He knows your past sin and failure. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you have no strength. He is mindful of you and I. And sometimes we think God is mindful of those things. Maybe we think that, but he's not really caring. But Mary knows that this God who's mindful is, look what it says, my soul rejoices in God, my, what? Savior. He's so mindful that he's come to help us. He knows our need. He knows we need help. As Sean said, we all need help here this morning. We all need help this morning, and God knows that. He's mindful of it, and he comes to save us and to help us. He's mindful of your brokenness. He's mindful of our world's brokenness, and that's why he came that first Christmas. So I don't know exactly what you are currently going through, but I do know this. God knows, and he wants to save you and help you and rescue you, not just so that you get through Christmas and tomorrow goes okay. But he wants to do it in a more wonderful way than that. And so whatever you're facing, you can have a singing soul. Not just the warm fuzzies that come from kind of seeing some nice decorations, but a singing soul that knows that whether you've been kind of overly busy and you're in danger of that kind of self-importance, or maybe you feel like you've got nothing in your calendar but you wish you had, and there's kind of self-pity, actually, you can let both of those go and know that God is mindful of you and I. Hallelujah. He knows. He cares. He's our Savior. He is Christ. May our Christmas be full of Christ. So, a Christmas that causes your soul to sing. Do you want to hear the next thing I see in this wonderful passage that just encouraged me to think about a different kind of Christmas, and that is a Christmas full of miracles. A Christmas full of miracles. I don't know, maybe you, like me, love the traditions of Christmas, so we kind of lean into them. As I said, it's a really good thing to do, but you know, traditions by their very nature are, you know, they have a predictability about them. They have a cozy, comfortable security about them, and that's one of the great things that they bring. But miracles, they're not predictable. In fact, wonderful as they are, they're often not comfortable. And really, most miracles happen because of someone having an agonizing cry that says, God, I want something to change. I want something to change. There were people crying out through the Old Testament at the time of Mary for something to change. And God heard their cry, and miracles start happening. I mean, Christmas, the first Christmas, is jam-packed full of miracles. I mean, start thinking about them. There was a, you know, there's angels. I mean, lots of angelic appearances in the Christmas story. And like, angels are supernatural. You don't often see angels. You know, and then you have, you know, miraculous births, like John the Baptist, born to a barren woman. And then you have, like, Zechariah, who's struck dumb in a moment and then healed in a moment. And then you have a virgin birth. I mean, it's miraculous all the way through. Just tons of miracles. Do you believe in miracles? If you don't believe in miracles, you don't believe in Christmas. But if you believe in Christmas, if you believe the first Christmas happened, as we are going to be reading about in our carol services, as you probably know from nativity stories, or if you believe that Christmas happened, you believe in miracles, my friend. And I love the lights in Brighton this year. I think they have those wonderful words, don't they? Light, joy, hope. But they also have this. Did you notice this one? Hashtag believe. I mean, it does have wish and, you know, other stuff, you know, all of it. But I think slightly unwittingly, they've given the key to Christmas. To know that God is a God who we can believe is mighty. who can do amazing things. Mary cries out, what does she say? You know, the mighty God has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And she says later on in verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. Do you believe in a mighty God this Christmas? That who does mighty things. God is mighty. God is mighty. That's what Christmas tells us. So here's my question for us this Christmas. What mighty thing are you asking God to do this Christmas? What miracle are you asking God for this Christmas? And if you're not, do you not need a miracle? Or do you not know someone who does? Do you not know someone who you would love to be healed or saved? Or a relationship that you would love to be restored, but you kind of know that without a miracle it wouldn't happen. What are you asking for a miracle this Christmas? Because Christmas is all about miracles. And God is the same God. And probably all of us here know that there's been something of a miracle of God even drawing us to this place this morning of a mighty God who has done mighty things for us. I know I could say that, a mighty God who's done mighty things for us, but I want to be this Christmas taking time to ask for miracles. You know, we had amazing, precious time last Sunday evening. It was our prayer night. It's just a time filled with faith. If you weren't there, you tell you what, you're missing out. And there was just such a sense that God is a God who's able to do miracles. We're praying for different individuals. We're praying for just churches across the city, for our city, for even nations. You know, the kids are going to be writing letters to Santa. They're probably asking for bigger stuff than Santa might be able to bring. But I tell you what, you're not going to ask for something too big for God to do this Christmas. The danger is, Holland Road, that we're going to not ask for enough. That we're not going to believe. So how about this Christmas we cry out for a miracle? How about this Christmas you just come to God and say, God, will you do this? And there will be miracles this Christmas. Across the world, there'll be people who see miracles. I guarantee you, because God's the same God. He does miracles. But boy, would I love to see some of them in amongst us and through our prayers. But what I know is if we don't cry out, if we don't cry out so often, that's where we miss them. The other thing, though, I do want to say is that Christmas is not the only time you can pray for miracles. Is that good news? So you don't have to wait till that day and God doesn't just do them on the 25th. You can pray for them any time. And I want to just even now be kind of just looking ahead into the new year. We're going to start the year with a week of prayer, church. We're going to say 1st to the 8th is a week to just press into God, to keep asking for miracles, to keep believing that Christmas is good news, not just for Christmas, but for the rest of the year. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our big prayer night on the 8th at the end of that week. In fact, we're going to do a number of things. We're going to have a family prayer time in the afternoon from 4:30 till 5:15. We're going to have times where all families can come and bring your kids, and we're going to do some creative prayer for them. The children's team are going to kind of lead that. But then we're also going to have a little break for some tea together. So you can come for the first part, stay for tea, and then go if you need to get your kids to bed. Or you can come for the whole time, because after the tea, we're going to keep praying. And the encounter team have said they're willing, because that would usually be an encounter night on the 8th. They're going to lead us in some prayer. And I would just say, please, will you come and pray? Hey, again, come with faith that God could mark it in your diary even now, Sunday the 8th, kind of prayer day. And that week, if you're leading a mission or community or you're leading a ministry, would you just take time in your teams to pray that week that we would know God move ahead of us? Let's believe for Christmas and a new year that's full of miracles. And that would be a different kind of Christmas, wouldn't it? I was just thinking about it and thinking, David, which would I prefer, to have a Christmas like last year, kind of exactly the same? Often we do the same things at Christmas, or even one miracle. And I'm thinking, you know what, I would happily buy one less present, go to one less party, even write one less Christmas card, but see a miracle. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, when do I need to just pause and say, God, again? When do I need to hit my knees again and say, God, will you do this? so that God would know that I really am longing and really do believe that he's a God of miracles. And lastly, and this maybe is the one that's challenged me most as I've been in this passage, a Christmas that is good news for the poor. Let me just ask you a simple question. Do you think Christmas is better if you're rich or poor? Should we just think about it a bit? I think if you're poor, you're going to struggle to buy presents for others and for yourself. You're going to struggle to get nice food. You might even be struggling already to pay your bills, so they're probably going to mount up. You're probably going to be feeling the financial stress more than ever. Whereas if you're rich, well, you can get nicer food. You can share more stuff with others. You can buy nicer presents. You can even pay for people like Amazon to wrap your presents for you. So it's simple, isn't it? It's Christmas is better. Even as Christians is better if you're rich. But what if you heard someone say that Christmas is bad news for the rich and good news for the poor? What if you heard someone say that at Christmas time we remember that the rich get nothing and the poor get good things? And that's not Christmas. That's nonsense, isn't it? That's kind of shocking. Until you remember it's what Mary's trying to communicate in her song. Should we read together? Look with me in Luke chapter 1, verse 50 to 53. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Why are the rich sent away empty? Why are the rich sent away empty? What's the problem with riches? Surely Christmas is better if you're rich. And I find just even thinking about this hard because I grew up in Kenya. Many of you know that. And part of the challenge is that when you look around the world and you look through history, really probably for most of us here, if not all of us here, in terms of material wealth, we have so much. So I'm even reading this and I'm thinking, God, well, what's the problem? Well, why is Mary saying this? So what is it about riches that's so dangerous? What do riches do to us? Well, just think for a moment. What riches do to us is they make us kind of self-sufficient. It means we put our trust in riches rather than our trust in God. It means we think we can actually help our children have a better Christmas because we've got more money for them rather than because we pray for them and share the good news with them. Riches make us, whether it's that we got a new watch or a car or a food in the fridge, or that's something nice, or we even sit in our living room and think, oh, this is nice. Riches have this tendency to do in us. They make us proud because we have something. Do you notice this little verse here? This has been really challenging me. Look at this, verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud. What does it say? In their inmost thoughts. Wow, Jesus. Is there pride in my inmost thoughts? Even sometimes things about Christmas, whether it's because of what I do or have, or we do or have as a church. Oh, Lord, please protect us from pride. You see how riches make us pride. And actually what we read in Revelation is that there were people who were kind of rich in material wealth, but actually they were poor, pitiful, naked, and blind. Because spiritually, just as Sean said when he prayed for us, guys, we might think we have stuff. Or maybe you think you don't have stuff. Just whichever one of those it is. But I tell you, we're all so poor, really. But the stuff that makes us forget it The stuff makes us not realize just how needy we are. You see, this is the good news of Christmas, that God has shown us mercy. Look here. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. God's mercy is in contrast to his judgment, and his mercy makes no sense without his judgment. But God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so he's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, but he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. That is our God. That is Christmas. Christmas is good news for the poor. Is the way you and I do Christmas good news for the poor? Is the way you and I do Christmas got in it a sense that actually what we most need this Christmas, what our kids most need, what our neighbors most need, what our friends most need is actually not us? I have to keep dying to this at Christmas time. You know, that it's what I do or what I am able. You see, that's the way we so easily fall into a pattern in our Western world, that we have the resources, all about what we do. No, we don't. We need God. God is the one who is able. God is the one who shows us mercy and others mercy. And Christmas is good news when you come desperate. If you're feeling desperate this Christmas, hey, you're in a great place. If you're saying, God, I need you. I'm nothing without you. I need your mercy. Whereas when we're proud in our inmost thoughts, we're in a dangerous place. And Christmas is a warning for us in that. You know, I remember going to the Davigdor, no, now Brunswick Primary, that's where my kids are, at Christmas fair recently. They had Santa's Grotto. You know those kind of places where you kind of, the kids go in to meet Santa? I'm just checking there's no small kids here. That, you know, and the Santa's not real. Hope I haven't surprised anyone. But, you know, the thing about Santa is he gives things away so the kids love him. But the way they'd done the Santa's Grotto is they'd piled up sort of boxes of pretend presents, and the kids had to crawl down on their knees. And even before Santa was there, the kids were practicing it, going through the tunnel. You can imagine it, can't you? And then they're going to go and get their gifts. And I was just watching and thinking. So I was reading this and thinking, Santa is nothing like God, by the way. Just park that thought. But God does love to give good things. I mean, he loves to give good things. I mean, God is so full of grace and mercy. He is merciful. You know, he remembers to be merciful. That's one of the things he doesn't forget to do. He remembers to be merciful. He says, God loves to give good things. But the thing is, you don't need money to get good things from God. You cannot buy Christmas. You just can't buy it. It is not possible to really get Christmas, to really receive all the joy and wonder of Christmas. All you need is nothing. All you need is, like those kids actually, is just to come humbly down on your knees. Don't have to literally be on your knees even, just in your heart. You have to check your pride at the door and come hungry. You have to be hungry for the good things that God gives, not the world gives. You have to come and say, hey God, I want your good gifts this Christmas. I want my soul to be singing with what you have for me. I want to see you do the miracle that money cannot buy. And you know what's amazing in all of that? What we see is that Christ, the Christ child, embodies all of that. Jesus Christ is the one who, above all, reminds us that God has been mindful of us. Because he's come as Emmanuel into our broken world. Jesus is above all the one who shows that God is mighty to save us and rescue us and defeat even death. Hallelujah. The mighty God has done mighty things for us. Jesus Christ has come. Hey, nothing is too difficult for him. If he was willing to give you even his own son, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And of course, Jesus is that wonderful picture of God's mercy poured out on the cross, as we were reflecting on this wonderful picture of the one who came for the broken and needy, for the humble. So this Christmas, in the amazing blessings that God has poured in our lives. Let's just keep being generous. You know, I love this church so much because in all that God's given us, I do really believe there's amazing generosity in this. You know, that gift day and all that people have given over this year and the way we look to give out and bless other churches. But I come into this year and I have to really die to not looking back and thinking, yeah, we're generous and we give. I just to keep thinking, God, how can I just keep giving? Because this stuff is dangerous to me, but it might bless others. So how can I just keep giving? And how can I keep believing that what is most wonderful is just given free? And actually it's that I most need and others most need. How can I keep remembering to have a Christmas full of Christ? One that Mary would recognize, that causes our soul to sing, full of miracles, good news to the poor, where Jesus is right at the center. So I just want to give some space for us right now. We're going to have the band come up in a moment, but just pause and just come to Jesus. Whatever has challenged you, I've been really challenged. I've been preparing this, but I've also had that sense of, wow, God, you're merciful to me. You forgive me. You're wonderful. Come and allow your soul to sing afresh in the good news of Christmas. So let's just be still, and I just want to ask Holy Spirit, wonderful Jesus, our Savior, who's mindful of us, would you come and minister, challenge us? There may be one thing you just need to do differently, to stop or to start. Maybe even right now you need to put Jesus front and center, not just into your Sunday morning, but into your Christmas plans. Holy Spirit, we want to do Christmas differently from the world. Jesus, we want not just the services we have here, but our lives. We want our lives to be full of this Christmas good news. So Lord, we do just come again. As Sean was getting us to pray earlier, we just want to come again and offer you our hearts. Say we need you. We need you so much. Forgive us where we forget we do. And we forget you're mindful of us. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Lord, our souls delight in your mercy, your greatness. Thank you.